unless it's serious. Well, I've been dating a wonderful man for 6 months, and I decided it's time to introduce him to my son. It turns out my son hates him. My sister says I should dump this man right away. She says, children are like dogs. They can sense evil. Is this true? Does my son know something I don't? Signed, Mother in Love. Dear Mother, I applaud you for being a great single mother. I can tell by your question that your number one priority is your child. Of course, that's not to say you shouldn't have a romantic relationship. You may be a mama, but you ain't dead, girl. If your child doesn't like your man, you need to find out why. Maybe your son is jealous. If so, help him feel more secure by spending extra time doing activities with him, like flying a kite, shooting marbles, or chasing him around Chuck E. Cheese. And remind your son every day that he is still and will always be your number one. On the other hand, don't rule out the possibility that your new boyfriend said or did something that made your son uncomfortable. It may be inconceivable to you that the man you love could treat your child badly when you're not around. But trust me, it happens all the time. As a comedian, I joke a lot. But when it comes to children and dating, this is no laughing matter. If you sense something bad is going on, trust your instincts and seek the help of a professional. Mama Love always says you can't be too safe. As part of her homeland security plan, she hid surveillance cameras in the light fixtures. Growing up, I thought she had supernatural powers because she always seemed to know if I had given my broccoli to the dog. It was only when I was an adult that I discovered her superpowers didn't come from God. They came from Sony. Dear Lonnie, my fiancé's mother is perfectly nice to me when my fiancé is in the room. But the second he leaves us alone, she starts calling me names and saying things like, it'll be a cold day in hell before I let my son marry a bitch like you. Ooh, the fighting words, girl. I told my fiancé that his mother had an evil side, but he just laughed it off and said she was making a joke. Lonnie, this woman is not joking. What should I do? Signed, Can't Stand the Bad Vibes. Dear Can't Stand, sounds like you're dealing with a Jekyll and Hyde mama. I know, because Arnold, my ex-live-in boyfriend, had a mother just like that. When I first met Arnold's mother, she would laugh at my jokes, share her recipes, and have meaningful conversations with me. But once Arnold and I decided to move in together, it was a different story. One day I went to his mother's house to pay her a visit. She answered the door, looked me up and down, and said, I don't know why my Arnold would move in with you. You're fat and your jokes aren't funny. Woo! Now, I could take a mother making cracks about how I look. As long as her son likes all this sexy, I don't care. But telling me I'm not funny? Telling me I'm not funny? That means war. I immediately told Arnold what his mama had said. When he confronted her, she told him that I must have misheard her. She was just crazy about me. Yeah, she was crazy, all right, and I was about to prove it. A few nights later, I had Arnold invite his mother over for dinner. Once she arrived, I sent Arnold to the store for some wine. That's when evil Mama Hyde came out. You better not make me sick with your cooking, she said. Look at your fat ass. When I was young, I watched my weight. I was slim size 12. And by the way, your weave looked ridiculous. I let her go on and on until Arnold came home. It was hard, girl, because you know I wanted to fight, but I waited. As we sat down to say grace, I pulled out a little digital recorder I had hidden in my bra, and I hit play. You should have seen the look on her face. Mm-hmm. If you're dealing with a mother who has multiple personalities, your best bet is to ignore her nasty remarks and know that eventually the truth will be revealed. And by that I mean, put your recorder in your bra and catch her in the act. I know your mother doesn't like me, but does she have to keep slashing my tires? Lonnie Love's tips for getting his mother to like you. Go to church with her on Sunday, even when you're hungover. Spike her iced tea with wild turkey. Act like you know nothing about cooking and ask her to show you how it's done. Invite her to the 99-cent store and let her spend $50. Send her over a male stripper named Big Willie Brown. Shout out, Willie! Take her to a singles club and be her wing woman. Stop dating her son. Dear Lonnie, last weekend, my husband and I went to his parents' house for dinner. After dessert, I was in the kitchen cleaning up, and my husband's married uncle made a pass at me. He's made comments before, but this is the first time he became physical. Should I tell my husband or the uncle's wife, or keep the whole thing to myself? Signed, Fondle. Dear Fondle, don't you just hate an uncle who can't keep his hands to himself? One night, Roscoe and I had Uncle T-Bone and his wife over for game night, or as we like to call it, drink night. As we were playing Monopoly, I felt someone put his hand on my knee and rub my thigh. I looked around the table and saw Uncle T-Bone with a big smile on his face, like a fox in a hen house. I wasn't having it. Faster than you could say frozen margaritas, I accidentally, on purpose, knocked a whole pitcher of Frosty Adele beverage right in his lap. Nothing says get your hands off my thigh like an ice-cold penis. The next time your husband uncle grabs your behind, say to him, look, Hans McGee, you touch me again, and I'm going to tell my husband and your wife. Then I'm going to tell my cousin, Lil Killjoy. He just got out of jail, and he's not afraid to go back. Dear Lonnie, I was looking through my boyfriend's photo album and came across a picture of a guy who looks very familiar. When I asked my boyfriend, he says, that's my douchey brother, Kyle. And then it all came back. I had a drunken one-night stand with Kyle after a Green Day concert when I was in college. I know I had to tell my boyfriend because next month he's taking me to his family reunion. What's the best way to break it to him? Signed, my boyfriend's the better brother. Dear better brother, did you take any acting classes in high school? Because you're going to need to channel Meryl Streep to pull off what I like to call the, if I said I don't remember, then it's like it didn't happen maneuver. Here's how it works. You go to the reunion with your boyfriend. Let him introduce you to his douchey brother. When you meet him, act as though you've never seen him before. If he says he knows you, reply, you don't look familiar. If he presses the issue, give him a long look, as though you're searching your memory. Then, slowly nod and say, now I remember. You used to work in the mailroom in my old job, right? Trust me, no man wants to think that a woman he had sex with forgot all about it. As Mama Love says, the most sensitive part of a man ain't his ding-dong, it's his ego. Good luck, girl. Dear Lonnie, my boyfriend's best friend is a girl he's known since elementary school. I've only met her once, and she seems nice enough, but the other day I found out through a mutual friend that she's been bad-mouthing me to my boyfriend. She told him he's a 10 and I'm a 4 and he can do better. What should I do? Signed, I thought I was a 7. Dear 7, here's what's going on. Your boyfriend's friend wishes she was more than a friend, and she thinks that tearing you down is going to help her chances. But it's perfectly reasonable for you to expect your man to stand up for you if someone else is insulting you. After my boyfriend Arnold found out about his mother and her Jekyll and Hyde ways, he made a point of always stepping up to defend me. One day we were at a family party when his cousin Spoon made a joke about my weight. Arnold didn't miss a beat. He said, Lonnie may be a fat ass, but she's my fat ass. I took that backhanded compliment with pride and told Arnold to shut the hell up. You need to tell your man it hurt your feelings that someone close to him was talking shit about you. If he acts like it's no big deal, then his friend did you a big favor by giving you an opportunity to see your man's true colors. He's a jerk. In which case, she can have him, because you deserve better, girl. Your friend said, what? Lonnie Love's guide to his smack-talking friends. If she says, you're a bitch, you say, thank you. If she says, I liked his last girlfriend better, you say, that's because he was dating your mother. If she says, you might want to put down those cookies, you say, you might want to pick up a breath mint. If she says, you look better with bigger boobs, you say, you look better with all your teeth. If she says, you're not as tight, you say, that's not what he was shouting last night. All night, hey! Dear Lonnie, my boyfriend's baby mama does not like me. I know this because when she came to pick up her son, she took one look at me and said to my boyfriend, keep your nasty hoe away from my child. My boyfriend tells me to ignore her. Is there any way to get her to stop being so mean? Sign, can't we all just get along? Dear Get Along, I know how you feel, girl. My ex Chris has a child with a crazy baby mama who loves drama. This chick would call at all times of the day and night, come by the house unannounced, and insist I leave the room so she and my man could discuss family business, which consists of her complaining about me. I realized I had two choices. I could either fight fire with fire and go off on a woman, or I could flip the script and try to turn this grizzly into a teddy bear with a big dose of honey. Instead of telling his baby mama what I really thought of her, I started complimenting her every chance I had. When I got the urge to tell her, "I'll whoop your ass," I'd say, "That's a whoop-ass weave, girl." Instead of saying, "Don't even think of telling me what to do," I said, "Girl, how do you do it so well?" And I didn't just tell her nice things to her face. I also utilized the information transport device known as her child. Every time I was with her son, I would say things like, "Did your mother give you that shirt? She has great taste." Or, "Did your mother teach you to do math? She must be a genius." Now, I know you may be asking yourself, why would Lonnie be so nice to a woman who disrespected her? The reason is this. I know from watching Mama Love raise me and my brother that single mothers are overworked and underappreciated. Sometimes that anger you see is just exhaustion. If you let your boyfriend's baby mother know you respect her and all she's doing to raise her child, she's sure to warm up to you. Shout out to the single mothers. Dear Lonnie, my new man has 2 teenage sons from a previous marriage. They are spoiled, rotten smartasses who don't clean up after themselves. My man and I are talking about moving in together. What's the best way for me to correct his son's behavior? Sign, Not the Mom. Dear Not the Mom, I once dated a guy named Juan Carlos. JC didn't have kids, but he had 5 sisters and 2 brothers who had a total of 21 children between them. When JC would stay at my house for the weekend, his nieces and nephews loved to come by to say hello. Those kids would treat my house like their personal clubhouse, eating up all my bacon. You know that really pissed me off. Using all my toilet paper and ruining my throw pillows with their sticky little hands. After a few months of this, I decided to itemize everything they use and present Juan Carlos with a bill. It came to $452.62. I haven't seen him or his family since. You need to sit down with your man and tell him how you feel about his no manner having kiddos. But don't expect them to change. They may be teenagers, but they have another decade of growing up to do before they come to their senses. The only thing you can do is make your house less inviting, so they'll look for somewhere else more fun to hang out, like a laundromat, an abandoned warehouse, or the parking lot at Bed Bath & Beyond. Good luck, girl. No, I'm sorry, you can't use the bathroom. Here's a key to the gas station down the street. Lonnie Love's Guide to Making a House Not a Home. Keep a lock on the refrigerator. Walk around your house singing old Negro spirituals and insisting everybody join in. Hand wash your bras and leave them soaking in the kitchen sink. Ask his sons to help you redecorate your place by moving all the furniture around. Then tell him you like it better the other way. Then keep repeating it. When you answer the door, burst into tears and say, "I'm so glad you're here. I'm feeling very hormonal." Chapter 8, Getting Hitched. I was never the girl with a scrapbook full of ideas for my fantasy wedding. But I know that for many women, marriage is something they dream of all their lives. Marriage can be a beautiful thing if you're committed, devoted, and willing to have a ball and chain tied to your leg until the end of time. I'm such a romantic. But it takes a lot of work. I know, because I was once married. And I've hardly told anyone about this until now. This is an exclusive, folks. In the spring of 2004, a few months after I decided to leave engineering and pursue my dream of becoming a comic, I landed a gig performing for the troops in Hawaii. After the show, a fine-ass soldier approached me to say how much he enjoyed my set. He explained he was on leave for the week and asked if I would join him for a drink. I was new to the comedy game, but I had already had a rule not to date any man who had tried to pick me up after a show. That's just asking for trouble. He might be a crazy groupie, a broke comedy nerd, or both. But in this case, I made an exception. Something felt different about this tall, handsome soldier. He was sweet and sincere, and when he looked me in the eyes, I felt like I had a belly full of butterflies. Johnny and I spent the next 4 days together, enjoying candlelit dinners and long walks on the beach. We didn't have sex, although you know I was tempted, okay? We just talked and talked, and I had the greatest time of my life. When I returned to Los Angeles, Johnny and I kept up our romance, spending hours on the phone and seeing each other every chance we had. Johnny visited me in Los Angeles, and I took trips to Hawaii where he was stationed. One day, after we'd been seeing each other for almost 2 years, Johnny said that for his next leave, he wanted us to meet in Las Vegas. And I was so excited. I would get to see my honey, hit all the buffets, and catch Cher's 57th farewell tour. Oh, I love Cher. The drive to Vegas took about 4 hours, and the whole way my heart was pounding in anticipation. But as I pulled up to the address Johnny had given me, I realized it wasn't a hotel. It was the Clark County Courthouse in downtown Las Vegas. I parked my car, worried about what this might mean. Was Johnny in trouble? Did I need to call my cousin Skillet for legal advice? I was in such a rush to find him that I almost tripped over Johnny as I ran up the courthouse steps. He was on bended knee, holding a dozen roses, his hands shaking slightly. "Will you marry me?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. I still remember that. I was so shocked, I blurted out the first thing that came to my mind. "I have to pee." I darted past Johnny toward the ladies' room. See, I had brought 2 7-Eleven Big Gulps for the drive, but I also needed a minute to think. This was all sudden. I mean, I wasn't sure about marriage, but I was sure I was in love. So I came out the ladies' room, found my man, and gave him a big hug. "Yes," I said, "let's do this." We got a marriage license and headed to a chapel near the courthouse. During the simple ceremony, I looked over at Johnny and saw tears in his eyes as the minister said, "You may kiss the bride." And I will tell you this, as long as I live, I will probably never have another kiss like the one Johnny gave me that day. It was the kind of kiss that makes you weak in the knees. It was a true kiss of love. And I was totally sober. Getting married so suddenly was like living a fairy tale, but soon enough, reality hit. A few months after we were married, Johnny got assigned to a base in North Carolina, and he expected me to move there and join him. By that time, my comedy career was really taking off, and I knew leaving L.A. was going to bring my career to a halt. I mean, we tried to make the relationship work, but struggling to compromise helped me to come to an important realization. Marriage can bring incredible love into your life. But if you're not willing to make sacrifices for your partner, maybe marriage isn't right for you. I love Johnny, and I knew he loved me. But he wanted a traditional wife, and I wanted to be a comedian. I'm not willing to give up my dream to become someone's missus, no matter how fine he is. This might sound like a sad story to all those women who fantasize about finding Mr. Right, but for me, it had the happiest ending of all. If I hadn't given up my marriage, I would have never become a worldwide touring comedian or been a CNN correspondent covering the inauguration of the first African-American president or written this book. Yes, I'm single, but I'm satisfied and I'm loving my life. Love your life. We haven't set a wedding date, so why do you keep having bachelor parties? Everything you need to know about nosy relatives, moody husbands, and the boyfriend who is taking forever to propose. Dear Lonnie, I've been living with my man for 3 years, and everyone keeps asking when we're getting married. I like things the way they are, and besides, the idea of marriage makes me feel trapped. Do we really need to get married? Signed, Satisfied. Dear Satisfied, people get married for all kinds of reasons. Some tie the knot because they're in love. Others just love the tax write-off. I know one woman who got married because she wanted a lavish wedding. On her big day, Tish had 8 ice sculptures, 2 dozen white doves, 14 bridesmaids, 6 flower girls, and 1 drunken friend at the open bar reception. I had a great time. Tish called me the very next day crying her eyes out, saying she made a huge mistake. I told her I made a huge mistake with that last shot of Hennessy and needed a minute to get my head together before we had a serious talk. 3 days later, I called her back. She confessed that now that the fun of planning the wedding was over, she wasn't sure she wanted to be married. These days, Tish is happily single with a great wedding video and $120,000 still owed to the caterer, band, and Dove trainer. Don't make the same mistake Tish did. If the mere idea of walking down the aisle makes you feel trapped, you definitely shouldn't be headed for the altar, no matter what anyone else says. When I announced in 2002 that I was going to quit my engineering job to become a comedian, folks said I was crazy and I wasn't even that funny. I told my mother if I wanted her opinion, I would ask for it. A year later, Mama Love sat with all her friends watching my first appearance on The Tonight Show. In other words, it's your life. Do what makes you happy. Oh, I am married. I just didn't invite you to the wedding. Lonnie Love's best comebacks for... Why aren't you married yet? I like having sex with different men. My ring finger looks better naked. I like checking a single box on my tax returns. I don't need the 2-for-1 discount. I don't want to share the remote. I like sleeping in a queen-size bed alone with a Sunday paper, a bowl of popcorn, and some back issues of Single and Satisfied Quarterly. I'm just too much woman for just one man. Hey, I like that one. Dear Lonnie, I've been married 7 years to a great guy. The other day, I was at a jewelry store with my friend, and just for fun, I decided to have my engagement ring appraised. I was shocked to find that all these years, I've been wearing a fake diamond. Ooh, oh my goodness. Clutch the fake pearls, girl. My girlfriend says this is a huge betrayal. What do you think? Sigh, did I marry a fraud? Dear Frog, your friend is blowing things out of proportion. In my book, a huge betrayal is when a guy lies to you about what he can do in a sack. Before you accuse your husband of false advertising, I suggest you give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe your man thought the diamond was real. It's an honest mistake that anyone can make when they buy an engagement ring in the middle of the night, out of the back of a truck, from someone like my cousin Skillet. Or maybe he was broke and a cubic zirconia was all he could afford. Or maybe he wasn't sure the marriage would last. Bottom line is, I'm sure there's a perfectly good explanation. Tell your husband you had the ring appraised and ask him what's up. I bet the two of you will have a good laugh about it. And if it really bothers you to know you're wearing a fake rock, ask your husband for a real diamond for your next anniversary, birthday, or Kwanzaa gift. Or treat yourself to something sparkly you picked out and paid for yourself. You deserve it. Dear Lonnie, I've been married 6 years and my husband has suddenly shut down. He barely talks to me anymore and has even stopped wearing his wedding ring. He says it's been giving him a rash, but I don't see any rash. What should I do? Sign, put a ring on it. Dear Onnit, if your husband is suddenly giving you the silent treatment and has taken off his ring, something has changed and you need to find out what it is. The problem is, men aren't always the best communicators. They feel perfectly fine staring at the TV for hours instead of opening up and saying what they really feel. Trust me on this. I know from experience. One time I invited my Uncle Clifton to see one of my shows. The next day he told me he wanted to go shopping. As we went around the store, Uncle Clifton kept pulling dresses off the rack. Each one was an elaborate floor-length gown covered in sequins, black lace, ostrich feathers, or all three. Finally, I said to Uncle Clifton, look, if you're a cross-dresser, it's okay with me, but you really need to tell your wife. Uncle Clifton flew into a rage. The next thing I knew, sequins were flying through the air, feathers were everywhere, and both of us got kicked out of the store. Later that night, when we had both calmed down, Uncle Clifton told me the dresses weren't for him. He wanted me to get one for myself because he thought I looked too casual when I did my act. He said, you're my niece. You should hit the stage like Diana Ross. I thanked him for his concern and explained that it just wasn't practical for me to do a show in Omaha in August wearing an evening gown and gloves. I'm telling jokes, I told him, not singing Endless Love. My point is, it took Clifton getting kicked out of Big May's Dress Emporium and Beauty Supply before he could tell me what was on his mind. If you want to know what's up with your man, don't expect him to volunteer the information. Instead, arrange to spend some time one-on-one in a low-stress environment so the two of you can really talk about how you feel about the relationship, your future together, and what makes you happy. Try inviting your husband for a long drive, a weekend at a bed and breakfast, or an impromptu Caribbean getaway. That way, if things don't work out, at least you'll come back with a tan. No, you may not bring the flat screen TV on our romantic weekend. Lonnie's top five getaways to rekindle the flame. Go to a wine tasting so the two of you can reconnect and get tipsy at the same time. Take a cruise and get close while saving money by booking yourselves into the smallest cabin. See an out-of-town concert and buy tickets for the nosebleed seat so you two can make out like teenagers. Take a drive to the country, pull over, and have sex on the side of the road. Just make sure you drop off the hitchhiker you picked up before you get started. Go to a Renaissance fair and tell him you're his wench for the weekend. Dear Lonnie, my boyfriend and I have been together 3 years. I've talked about getting married one day, but I'm still waiting for him to propose. Is it okay if I ask him to marry me? I already know exactly how I'm going to do it. Sigh, let's do this already. Dear Already, kudos to you for being a go-getter. Your eagerness to take the initiative must make you a firecracker at the office, and I bet you were at the top of your class at school. But in this situation, you may need to slow your roll, girl. My friend Eva wore the pants in her relationship with Louie. In fact, she not only wore the pants, she was a seamstress and would sew them herself. Eva would ask Louie out, choose a restaurant, make the reservations, and arrive at Louie's doorstep with his outfit for the evening and a list of approved discussion topics. How do you think this relationship worked out? That's right, it didn't. Louie went on to find a woman who would let him pick out his own outfits, at least some of the time. As much as some men behave like children, they still need to feel as though they are the ones in charge. And when it comes to marriage, most men like to be the one to propose. For all you know, your man is taking his time because he's planning something really special, like a hot air balloon ride, or teaching his pet parrot to say, "Marry me." Imagine how disappointed he would be if you beat his parrot to the punch. Instead of proposing, why don't you spend your energy thinking of subtle ways to tell your man you're ready for him to pop the question? For instance, try making him dinner, wearing a white dress and veil, replacing the porn site on his computer with YouTube wedding videos, or having your mom ask him when the two of you are going to stop breaking her heart and get married already. One minute we're watching Jerry Maguire, the next minute he's asking me to marry him. Lonnie Love's guide to when he's most likely to propose. After you dump him for the 50th time, but this time you really mean it. Why having sex in the closet during his aunt's Thanksgiving dinner? After his dog has a near-death experience. After he mistakenly watches Terms of Endearment. After he crashes your mom's car. After the Las Vegas casino drops the charges. After a wild weekend with the boys that he refuses to go into detail about. When he realizes none of his frat brothers want to hang out and play beer pong anymore because they're all grown up. Dear Lonnie, my fiancé and I are getting married in 6 months, and so far he's refused to help me plan the wedding. Does this mean he's getting cold feet? Sigh, worry. Dear worry, sweetie, I'm a firm believer that when a man wants you to know something, he may not be able to articulate it, but he will send you a sign. On the flip side, sometimes women see signs where none exist. Maybe the fact that your man's not joining in the wedding planning has nothing to do with cold feet. Maybe he just doesn't want to pick out table centerpieces and bridesmaids' bouquets. And if your man is matching the flowers to the table settings, well, you may have an entirely different problem on your hands. If you really want to know if your man is having second thoughts, ask him to help you with something he might actually want to do and see how he responds. When my friend Liberty got married, she asked her fiancé Greg to help with flowers. Greg was usually very organized and dependable. But when it comes to ordering flowers, he kept missing the appointment with the florist. Liberty finally asked him what the deal was, and he confessed he was worried he would mess things up, and he didn't want her to be disappointed on her big day. That's when I understood why Liberty was so in love. Liberty decided to ask Greg to do something less stressful. She sent him to choose her lingerie for the honeymoon. She knew if he didn't get the right size, it wouldn't matter. Those panties weren't going to stay on anyway. Hey! You need to take a page from Liberty's playbook. If your man is into food, put him in charge of the dinner menu. If your man's into music, have him pick a DJ. If he's a people person, put him in charge of keeping your two cousins who don't know they've dated the same guy away from each other on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. I should have known he didn't want to get married when he told me he was moving to the South Pole alone. Lonnie loves signs of trouble in paradise. He still hasn't signed the divorce papers his ex-wife sent over 2 years ago. He says he wants to keep his apartment as a backup. The wedding is a week away, and he still hasn't picked a best man. He keeps looking through a Victoria's Secret catalog, muttering, "Now I'm never going to live the dream." You still don't have a wedding date, but every other Friday he has a bachelor party. You come home from work, and the PlayStation console and his Grand Theft Auto and Final Fantasy video games are gone, but your Dance Dance Revolution video is right where you left it. Dear Lonnie, I'm a professional woman with a great career. My fiancé is a struggling artist. I don't mind being the breadwinner in the family, but before we get married, I want him to sign a prenup agreement. How can I ask him without insulting him? Sign, protecting my assets. Dear assets, men can be very touchy about money, especially if they don't have any. And if he's a painter, he probably won't make money until he's dead. The most important thing is to be sensitive to your man's feelings. Tell him, "I love you and I'm not going anywhere, but a prenup would give me peace of mind." If he refuses to sign, back off and give him some time before you bring it up again. If the two of you end up in a standoff with no one budging, you should figure out what's going on. Many couples get into arguments over money, but take it from me, when a man doesn't respect your desire to protect the money you worked hard for, it's usually a sign of more trouble to come. You need to hash out your money issues with a professional counselor before you tie the knot. And if all this fails, you can do what I always do when I need someone to sign some papers against their will. I ask Skillet to sit them down for a friendly conversation until they change their minds. Nothing's wrong with that. Dear Lonnie, I thought I would be married by now, but I am not. I feel like a failure. How can I stop feeling so bad? Sign, life didn't turn out the way I planned. Dear Plan, for most of us, life doesn't turn out the way we envisioned it when we were young. When I was a child, I wanted to be a singer. Unfortunately, I can't hold a B flat if you put it in my hand. But instead of clinging to an impossible dream, I evaluated my options and realized I could be happy, even if I can't sing like Beyonce. The voice is all she got on me, though. When I put on my heels, a bodysuit, and a blonde wig and dance around my room to Single Ladies, it's like we're practically twins. Feeling satisfied with your life is something you control. You are the master of your destiny, the queen of your queendom. Sometimes all you need to turn things around is a change of perspective. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do have. Girl, what you need is a feel-good list. Get a piece of paper and fold it into four quarters. In the top left quarter, write down all the wonderful things you have in your life, such as a warm bed, a full fridge, or a collector's edition of The Bridges of Madison County on Blu-ray. In the next quarter, write down a list of all the things you've accomplished, like graduating from college, building a wonderful career, or talking your way out of 5 speeding tickets. In the third quarter, list all the people who love you. Feel free to include the old man at the dry cleaner or the homeless guy who asked you to marry him last week. For your last list, write down all the people who bring a smile to your face. Definitely include pets and celebrities. Dr. Drew, my mom, and Mr. Chang, the owner of the Red Light Liquor Store, all are on my feel-good list. Now, take that piece of paper, fold it up, and stick it in your bra next to your heart, where you can look at it anytime you feel blue. That's where I keep my feel-good list. Right beside my cell phone, my car keys, and a condom, just in case I get lucky. Dear Lonnie, my boyfriend has been talking about marriage. I think I'm ready, but how do I know for sure? Sign, undecided. Dear undecided, it's a good thing you're giving this a lot of thought. Marriage can be a wonderful thing, but only if you're ready. If not, the situation can turn ugly fast. Not only do you have to get out of the marriage and potentially break your man's heart, you have to return all the crock pots and serving dishes you received as gifts. That's a lot of stamps. My friend Maxine wasn't sure she was ready for marriage, but at 35, she felt time was running out. So when her boyfriend Jackson proposed, she said yes. For weeks leading up to the wedding, Maxine, a high school English teacher, kept trying to convince herself that she could get over Jackson's stinky breath, his poor performance in bed, and the fact that he said X instead of ask. Finally, the big day arrived. As Maxine and Jackson stood at the altar reciting their vows, Jackson looked at Maxine lovingly and said, "Baby, I knew the moment I asked you to marry me, we would live happily ever after." Maxine looked at Jackson and said, "Baby, I love you too, but the word is asked." And with that, she ran out the church. Figuring out if you're ready for marriage requires some soul searching. You have to ask yourself the big questions like, am I willing to put someone's needs ahead of my own, at least occasionally? Am I willing to compromise? Am I willing to accept mispronunciations, bad directions, and someone farting in my bed? Careful consideration can save you a lifetime of regret and a lot of postage returning all those gifts. When you say, "till death do us part," how long are we talking exactly? Lonnie Love's "Am I Ready for Marriage?" questionnaire. Are you familiar with and willing to accept any and all possible sounds that may be emitted by your future husband's body? Are you capable of losing an argument with dignity and grace? And that means no throwing wine bottles against the wall. Are you willing to help your husband feel needed, even if it means acting like you can't change a tire when you were the one who aced high school auto mechanics? Can you keep your mouth shut when your future hubby is acting like an idiot in front of his friends? Can you stay faithful to your husband after he's gained 50 pounds, stopped shaving, and decided he's most comfortable eating breakfast in the nude? Are you able to accept your husband spending huge piles of money on items that he don't need and you don't either, like a life-size personal robot, when you're trying to save for something important, like an in-home nail salon? Do you own a personal vibrator? If you've answered yes to most of these questions, congratulations, here comes the bride. Dear Lonnie, I'm a 35-year-old professional woman with a great job, a nice condo, and a good relationship with my family. The only thing missing is a husband. I really want to get married in the next 2 years. How can I make my dreams come true? Signed, wife in search of a husband. Dear wife, only in the movies does a woman end up falling for her male best friend or the stranger who pushes her out of the path of an oncoming truck or the millionaire who hires her as a high-priced hooker. In the real world, meeting Mr. Right takes planning. Here we go. Step one, make a list. You know how I love lists. This list is all about the qualities you're looking for in a husband. For instance, your list might include wants to have children or is religious. Or has a driver's license. Hi, I put that last one in to trick you. Having a driver's license shouldn't be on your list. Girl, you could teach him to drive. Your list should be things you need for a happily ever after relationship. You're looking for Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now. Here's something on my list. Must be able to cook, clean the house, and do my taxes. As you can see, my Mr. Right list doubles as a job posting for a personal assistant. Step two. Find Mr. Available. Remember back in the day when you would go out with someone just because he was cute and funny? Well, those days are over, girl. You're on a mission, and you should only be dating serious targets. I mean prospects. Get the word out that you're looking to be fixed up on blind dates. Don't be shy. You're looking for the love of your life, so you need to act like a town crier. Tell your family, your coworkers, hairdressers, postmen, pastor, rabbi, married friends, gynecologists, whoever. Let friends know you're open to any and all candidates as long as the man is available for a serious relationship. That means no confirmed bachelors, nobody in the midst of a messy divorce, and no cousins. Step three, audition and approve. Once you started dating a possible partner, you need to verify that he's husband material. Your audition process can involve many things. For instance, you might introduce him to a married friend to get her perspective. Or if you want children, you might take him to your 3-year-old nephew's birthday party to see how he gets along with kids. My friend Jolene was concerned that her boyfriend Nicholas wasn't able to hold up his end of the conversation. By that, she meant she didn't know if Nicholas had the stamina to listen to her mind-numbing, boring stories about what happened to her at work every day. So one winter afternoon, she suggested that they go for a drive. She warmed up the car, had Nicholas wrap himself in blankets, gave him a warm cup of cocoa, and started to tell him about her week at the office. Any normal person would have been asleep before they pulled out of the driveway, but Nicholas was a trooper. He lasted for a good hour before his eyelids started to droop. That was long enough for Jolene to tell him about Monday's fiasco with the color copier and Thursday's coffee maker scandal. Jolene gave her boyfriend an A+, and to this day, they're still together. Step 4, commit. If he's passed your audition, you can move on to the commitment phase, in which you both agree to date each other exclusively. Make sure he makes it official with the appropriate Facebook status updates and Twitter posts. Hashtag, I'm taken. Step 5, give him a timetable. Some women like you have a 2-year plan. But whatever your timeline, once you've been in a monogamous relationship for a while, you have to take the initiative to move your relationship to the next phase. Tell your man you'd like to get engaged and married within the next year, or whatever timetable works for you. If he doesn't jump at the chance to lock you down, cut him loose and move on. Now, this is where a lot of women choke. A woman will tell her man she wants to get married, and he'll say he needs more time, or he's not ready, or he loves you, but mama isn't on board yet. That may be fine for the woman who is willing to be engaged for a decade, but that's not you. Remember that. Step 6, have a life. One of the most important things for a woman to do while she searches for her soulmate is to focus on herself. Take some time each and every day to do something that has nothing to do with becoming a couple. Sign up for a yoga class, learn a new language, plan a girl's wild weekend. Sweetie, I support you in your quest to find a mate, but if I didn't remind you to love yourself first, I wouldn't be giving you the best advice I have. Chapter 9. Messy, messy messes. Listen up, all my drama queens. Are you always dating the wrong man? Are you constantly getting evicted from your apartment or kicked out of restaurants for throwing drinks at your frenemies? Are you not 100% sure who fathered your 2 youngest children? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but you're living a messy life. If that's the case, you owe it to yourself, your family, friends, and coworkers to consider the many benefits of cleaning up your act. Benefit number 1, no more lying. Face it, if you're living a messy life, you probably had to tell a lot of lies. Chances are, at some point, you've had to explain how it is you ended up in the produce aisle of the grocery store with no pants on, or why you and your sister's ex-husband were passed out naked in your backyard. And most of the time, it's easier to make up a reason than to tell the truth about the bet you lost, the bender you went on, or the stupid idea that sounded great when your ex-convict boyfriend brought it up during a conjugal visit. But this just creates a tangle of lies, the details of which are often impossible to remember. When you live a mess-free life, you don't have to keep track of your lies by writing them in a notebook. You can just tell the truth. And if you can't remember the truth, well, honey, then you have a whole different type of problem. Benefit number 2, you don't have to hide the details of your love life from your closest friends. If you're the kind of woman who watches the nightly news and thinks to herself, oh, he's handsome, when they cut to a scruffy guy in handcuffs being led away by police, you probably have poor judgment when it comes to men. And if your judgment is poor, you've probably been in a series of relationships with sketchy guys, such as the time you found yourself in a whirlwind romance with a Colombian drug lord. The problem with these men is that you can never tell your friends about them. And if you don't discuss your crazy relationships with your best friend, then there's no one around to tell you, girl, you lost your damn mind. Break that cycle now. If you're dating a man you feel you need to keep a secret, dump the guy and find someone you could take home to mom. Benefit number 3, you don't have to sneak around. Have you ever found yourself donning a wig and dark glasses to shop in a store with a clearly displayed poster that says, "You're not welcome"? Do you feel it necessary to switch cars with your cousin every morning on your way to work just as a precaution? Have you ever had the need to print your own passport? Come on now, that's no way to live. Constantly worrying that you're going to get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing is very stressful. If you live a mess-free life, you can go anywhere and do anything with your head held up high without wearing a disguise. Benefit number 4, you get to make a whole new group of friends. If you want to rid your life of mess, you need to surround yourself with people who are living the life you aspire to lead. Make friends with stable, smart women who aren't always out there dodging law enforcement or loan sharks. You can find women like this running animal shelters, volunteering on the PTA, or working as librarians. Do not look for them at your regular hangouts, loitering behind yellow police tape or passed out on the floor of the men's room after closing time. Notice how your new friends don't scream at each other in public or have the names of their baby daddies tattooed on their upper thighs. Their lives are calm and mess-free, and soon yours will be too. Benefit number 5, joy and happiness. The best part about cleaning up your messy life is that it will make you happy. You won't be worried about what other people think of you or be haunted by regret over things you should have done differently. And you won't have to pay to get that tattoo removed. Girl, that hurts. Instead, you'll be able to live in the moment, happy and satisfied and in love with yourself, which is exactly what you deserve. My mother and stepfather divorced. Is it okay to date him? Everything you need to know about dating your relatives, kids with big mouths, and the boyfriend who's got more lingerie in his closet than Victoria's Secret. Dear Lonnie, I've been happily married for 3 years, and now we're expecting a baby. I'm worried because about 6 months ago, I had a one-night stand while on a Caribbean getaway with my girlfriends. There was a lot of alcohol involved, and I don't remember everything that happened. All I know is I woke up naked with the gorgeous pool boy in my bed. Whew! Now, there's a possibility that this baby I'm carrying is not my husband. Oh, my goodness. What should I do? P.S. My husband is white, and Malik is totally not. Oh! Sign, regretting the swirl. Dear Swirl, sounds like your husband may be in for the shock of his life. Or maybe not. The fact is, you don't know for sure that your husband isn't the father of your child, so there's no reason to make yourself sick with worry. In fact, you might be obsessing simply because you are pregnant. Pregnant women worry about everything. It's the hormones. When my friend Simone was preggo, she was a ball of nerves. She fretted that she was gaining too much weight one day and not enough the next. She worried that the baby was kicking too much, then not enough. Mostly, she just worried that the baby would come out looking like her husband's mother. In fairness to Simone, I've seen her mother-in-law. I'd be scared too. But stress is bad for the baby, and worrying is no way to get through a pregnancy. You need to get this off your chest. Here's what you do. Write your husband a loving letter telling him how much you adore him, that you made a terrible mistake, and that you hope he'll be able to forgive you. And then explain that the baby may not be his. When you finish, put the letter in a safety deposit box at a bank you never go to, possibly in a different state. Then put this whole thing out of your mind. You poured all your guilt and anxiety into that letter. Now, you must move on. Set up the nursery and plan for the birth. When the baby arrives, the whole family is going to be full of excitement. Enjoy those days while you quietly inspect your child for signs of color. Check the ears. Mama Love always told me the ears are the first place a baby gets color. If it's a boy, check the penis. Does the baby's penis look related to your husband, or is it more Malik size, if you know what I mean? If your husband is the dad, destroy the letter immediately. If not, get the letter, leave it on the kitchen table for your husband to read. Your husband will be angry, so be prepared for him to call you a whore, or more likely, a hoe, now that he knows you're into black guys. Also, make sure you set up a session with a marriage counselor. You're going to need some professional help cleaning up this mess. And honey, the next time your horny girlfriends suggest a fun-filled getaway, offer to drive them to the airport and to take your ass back home, where it belongs. I thought this was a new beach. Why are we the only ones without any clothes? Naughty Love's top girlfriend getaway vacation blunders. Give your real cell number to the guy you met on the beach who says he wants to move to the America and something about a green card. Not packing any condoms to avoid being tempted. Girl, pack 'em. Coming home pregnant with no recollection of how you got that way. Accidentally sending a picture of yourself holding a giant margarita and wearing nothing but water floaties to your entire office with the caption, "Wish you were here, bitches." Being your best friend's wing woman on a singles cruise and letting it slip that she has a husband and 4 kids at home. Taking your mother-in-law and your girlfriend's annual Caribbean weekend so you can bond. Telling your boyfriend you're going away on business and having your BFF post pictures of you having the time of your life at Chippendales Las Vegas on her Facebook page. Dear Lonnie, I moved back home with my recently divorced mother after losing my job. Everything was fine until I came home late last night and heard some noise coming from my mother's room. It sounded like she was having sex. I was so disgusted. What should I do? Signed, totally traumatized. Dear traumatized, I understand times are tough, but nobody wants to hear their mom sounding like she's auditioning for a role in a Lil Wayne video. I remember the time I heard Mama Love getting it on. I was about 12. I came home from school early and the apartment was filled with sounds of squeaking bed springs and a man's voice was singing The Temptations, My Girl. I haven't been able to listen to The Temptations without wanting to slap an old soul singer ever since. Girl, you need to double your hustle to get a job so you can move out of your mama's house as soon as possible. In the meantime, give your mom some space. For instance, plan a once-a-week sleepover at a girlfriend's house and tell your mom well in advance so she can schedule her freak night. If you can't be out of the house for the whole evening, at least let your mom know what time you'll be coming home so she can plan her loudest activities for when you're gone. The good news in this scenario is that your mom sounds like she's having a ball. Or should I say, balls. I'm guessing you're cramping her style as much as her new zest for life is making you blush. Move out and let mama have her fun. Dear Lonnie, my ex just got a job where I work. I still have feelings for him, but I know he's moved on and is dating someone else. I feel so bad when I see him. What should I do? Signed, no options. Dear options, girl, I know just how you feel. There are times when I've had to do shows with male comics I used to date, but I've never refused a gig because of an old flame. One of my rules of love is money before honey. If it's a dude I really like, I just put it in my act. That way I can talk about him and get paid at the same time. You want to know the best way to take your mind off of an ex? Look for a new job. In fact, your boyfriend coming to work at your company might be the best incentive you need to kick your career into high gear. I think you know what I'm going to tell you to do next. Make a list. This list is your exit strategy list, and it's going to include everything you need to make a successful exit from your job. And by that, I mean leaving for something bigger and better. Your list should have at least 50 items on it. Some of the items might be simple, like revised resume, or watch the movie Waiting to Exhale for motivation. Other items might be more complicated, like take a road trip to another city where there are job opportunities and see if I like to live there. Maybe you need to take a class or get some special training. Sign up, but don't stop there. Update your interview wardrobe, buy some new work shoes, or treat yourself to a weave. Slowly work your way through your exit strategy list. It should take you at least 6 months. And guess what happens then? Either you'll have a new job or you'll be over your ex. But with classy new hair extensions and the confidence to ask for a raise. Either way, you're a winner. I wouldn't have taken this job if I had known my ex-husband's new girlfriend was going to be my supervisor. Lonnie Love's messiest workplace scenarios. Conducting a team-building workshop with your ex's current wife and the woman he's cheating on her with. Interviewing your ex for a server position at the Subway you're managing. Breaking off your wedding engagement to your supervisor so you can date his hot new intern. finding your boss with his pants down, sitting on the photocopier. Having to fire your husband and hire someone half his age. Aww. Dear Lonnie, a few years ago, my husband suggested we have an open relationship. At first, I was totally against it, but I've come to love our arrangement. Seeing other people for occasional flings keeps me feeling sexy. The problem is, my husband has grown very jealous of my escapades and wants us to become monogamous again. How can I get him to change his mind? Signed, in the swing of things. Dear Swing, it's pretty obvious that when your man proposed this idea, he thought he was the one who was going to be having all the fun. Now that he's discovered your hidden talent as a man juggler, he's not so happy. I'm not surprised. Men often come up with great ideas that are only great in their imagination. One time, Roscoe and I made a bet about which dude on Maury was really the baby's father. Whoever lost had to fulfill the other's secret fantasy. Well, I lost, and the next thing I knew, I had to go to Roscoe to a swingers party. As you probably know, a swingers party is a get-together at someone's home where horny, consenting adults can do whatever, however, with whomever. When we arrived, it was like a scene from Caligula. Naked folks were everywhere. On the floor, in the bathroom, in the pantry, even in the oven. A beautiful woman was standing by a pool table holding a cue and wearing no pants. A middle-aged guy was under the pool table giving the woman what I like to call the kiss of life. Roscoe was in heaven. I could see the excitement in his eyes, and by that I mean his pants. I went to the bar, poured myself a drink, and found a dry couch to sit down on. Roscoe, I said, this is what you wanted. Knock yourself out. You have until my glass of Hennessy is empty, then I'm leaving. 2 minutes later, Roscoe came running back saying, let's get out of here. In the car, Roscoe told me that a big burly man had approached him and asked if he could toss his salad and make pie. Lonnie, Roscoe said, I don't know what the hell he meant by make pie, and I sure wasn't about to find out. If you really want to keep your end of the arrangement, you're going to have to remind your husband of why he wanted an open marriage in the first place. Try fixing him up on a date. If he has a great time, you're both in business. If, on the other hand, your husband still wants to call it quits, I suggest you rewatch your wedding video, put on some Barry White, break out the KY jelly, and get it on with the man you married. His and hers beer koozies is not what I meant when I said I wanted something romantic for my birthday. Lonnie loves ideas that never work out the way men think they will. Barbecuing naked. Taking 2 Viagra pills at once to double the pleasure. Trying to get you in the mood by taking you to a Vegas topless review instead of the Celine Dion concert you wanted to see. Emailing porn videos of himself to your work email. Hitting the emergency stop button on the elevator so you two can have an impromptu makeout session. Buying you sexy lingerie 2 sizes too small because he thinks you'll take it as a compliment. Mm-mm. Dear Lonnie, my mother and stepfather Rick divorced a few months ago. Rick is very handsome and only 15 years older than me. We always had a great chemistry. Oh, here we go. In fact, we get along better than he and my mother ever did. Do you think it's okay for me to ask Rick out on a date? Sign, Stepdaddy's Girl. Dear Daddy's Girl, I'm always surprised at how often I have to repeat this, but here it goes again. I don't care how fine, rich, or charming a man is, a woman should never date her mother's ex, unless, of course, you're trying out for a spot on the Jerry Springer Show. When I was starting to date, Mama Love was stressed to me the importance of not mixing romance and relatives. Her favorite motto was, the same DNA, don't share PNA. I didn't learn until I was in college that the P was for penis and the A stood for ass. I thought it stood for peanuts and apples, which is why I still don't like sharing my food with my cousins. Of course, not everyone follows this rule of love. A few years ago, my friend Rita started dating her sister's ex. Rita claimed that Pauline gave her the okay, but Pauline's true feelings came out over Thanksgiving dinner at Rita's house. After the meal, the alcohol was flowing and everyone was getting loose. Suddenly, Pauline got up from the chair, grabbed her plate, marched around the table to where her sister was sitting, and dumped her turkey bones, corn cobs, and uneaten broccoli on Rita's lap. When Rita said, "What the hell are you doing?" Pauline shouted back, "Obviously, you love taking my leftovers. I thought I'd hand deliver them this time." Suddenly, the two women were rolling on the ground, locked in a sister-on-sister brawl. The only way dating your stepfather can possibly turn out okay is if your mother has been secretly eyeing one of your exes and you offer her a one-on-one man trade. But of course, that's still gonna land you on Jerry Springer. So don't do it. Dear Lonnie, I've been dating this wonderful, kind, and caring man. Last week, he confessed that he was born into the wrong body, meaning he used to be a woman. He explained that he's had surgery. He can do everything I would expect a man to do except get me pregnant. I love being with my boyfriend.